the seven churches, three that have been here, lighting here, love is good, it's saying to the churches. Now still, that's it. That Jesus talked about the kingdom of God. Today the church is the instrument to release the rule of God, the kingdom of God. This is about the ten virgins. Jesus used the parable of the ten virgins. Say ten virgins. And Jesus mentioned the kingdom of God is like the ten virgins. And they were all waiting to go and see the bridegroom. And Jesus very decisively and very emphatically said, five are foolish, five are wise. And the foolishness and the wisdom of wise has to do with extra oil. The wise took extra flux in their land and they waited for the bridegroom. The foolish took only their land, but there was no extra oil. Then the Bible tells us, as they came together, the bridegroom delayed the time. There was a time of delay. And this is the timeline that we are in. Delay is not denial. Say with me, delay.
It's not denial.
God delayed his coming, or Jesus delayed his coming. It's a time of testing. Many of you are going to be tested. Many testings will come to purify us. It's a time God is giving a space to repent. Many of you are. If you're not right before God, it's a time to repent. He gives space of time. This is taken from the seven churches. One church, God said, I give you space to repent. And when the timeline of space of repent, then judgment comes in. It's a time to build and to know God. You know why? In the end, when the five foolish ladies or foolish virgins who went to buy the oil and came back and said, Lord, Lord, open the door. And Jesus answered, he says, depart from me. I never knew you. It's a time to get to know the Lord. There is all over the body of Christ we have the word called intimacy. Intimacy, say with me, intimacy. We are made for intimacy with God. God made us and we are here to dialogue in the church camp. We will be studying the book of Songs of Solomon. The key to the Songs of Solomon, one of the things, God is an emotional God. He has emotions.
Hallelujah.
Too long we have talked about there's no emotion. He is an emotion God. Though he's a spirit, there is emotion in him.
Yeah.
And one of the key that you have, one of the longings that God puts into our heart is longing to be known by God and longing to be enjoyed by God.
Yeah.
It's one thing to know God, but the other thing is to be known by God and God enjoy us. Yeah. Pastor Majin emphasized the love that God has for Jesus. God puts it for you and for me. Now let's put emotion. God knows us. He loves us. He knows we are walking with him. He enjoys us.
Hallelujah.
And this morning I want to say that's the message. God enjoys us. Enjoy what you're doing. If you know that, many of your religious bondages will leave. It's a time that you need to know God. Time to build. Say with me, time to build. So before Jesus Christ come back, before the bridegroom come back, this is a space of time God has given to us. Get yourself right before God. Then there's I could hear in the spirit a midnight cry. In the midnight cry, it's the darkest hours of the day, of the night. It's a time when, you know, the children of Israel expect, children of Egypt, they experienced the judgment of God when the death angels went over. It's also a time for us to meet the Lord. And so I want to tell you, it's a time of cry that we're going to get yourself right before God. The midnight cry is some of you, or many of us like us, is maybe our timeline to meet the Lord. We're going to be prepared. Another one is, the Lord is coming back again. He's coming back soon anyway, by the signs and times, he's coming back. And we're going to get prepared. That's a cry. Say it with me, cry. That's a cry. If you are in tune with the Holy Spirit, you will hear the cry of the that's a cry. The bridegroom is coming. Within this space time, get yourself ready. That is our season that we are in. Get yourself, and then when the bridegroom comes, be all ready. So my question is, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready when He's coming, or you go up to Him? Are you ready? It's a serious question. If you're not ready, I tell you, it's going to be a difficult time. I'm so glad in 1973, 15th December, I was diagnosed with tuberculosis. Just for 15 days, I was coughing, and I do not know, but on 15th December, I was told there was severe pulmonary tuberculosis, and it was desperate. I became so desperate at 22 years old, a young man. My future fell. But I said, no, it is the mercy of God. When I cried to God, the Lord appeared and said, I'm the Lord that heals thee. My whole medical situation changed. It's already 45 years I'm here.
Yeah.
I tell you, God is here. He saves you. He heals you.
Yes.
45 years I'm here. Never had any chest problem, lungs problem. God is real. He heals. He made the body. He can fix the body.
Yeah.
We can cry to God yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same. Amen. Amen. I could speak resurrection life.
Hallelujah.
With two things. One, the Lord spoke to us. When I speak resurrection life, there's going to be an army rising up in the body of Christ, not only here. That is one. Next, second, I'm going to speak resurrection life, that there will be divine health. Beyond healing, we need divine health.
Yeah.
Really? In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Yeah.
In this time, I speak and declare resurrection life. Resurrection life in the body of Christ. Yeah. Until an army rises up, Lord. Warrior, taking the kingdom of God for you.
Yeah.
I speak resurrection.
Yeah.
I pray for divine protection in these seasons of Christmas. Lord, let us be mindful that we are not alone. God is with us. Holy Spirit is with us. Angels are with us. We thank you for your divine protection as we travel to and fro. I bind the spirit of us. Of calamity, and I speak the angels of God to protect us. That this season will be a time of great harvest. Let the grace of God, and let the love of God, and let the communion of God take us to a new land. Resurrection life! Resurrection life! Resurrection life! In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Brother Dino.
No Sunday school today, so you're all stuck with me again. Oh, the children is saying. All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you ready to hear the word?
Yes.
Are you ready to hear the word?
Yes.
Are you ready to receive the word?
Yes.
Are you ready to obey the word?
Yes.
Are you ready to be changed by the word?
Yes.
The yes part of it. So before I start, as you all know, what I like to do is I like to declare, oh hallelujah, which means what? Praise the Lord, right? But today I don't want it just to be another oh hallelujah, right? I feel in my spirit that, some of us are maybe struggling with something, or there is someone that you've been praying for, or something that's bothering you, that you're worrying. I know maybe some of us, for Byford, we're a bit nervous as well. You know, all those things. And God is just giving this word, look on the other side.
Yeah.
Which means, God sees at the other end.
Yeah.
Right? If we see what He sees, we will say what? Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. When we get our prayers answered, what do we say? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, God is telling you, look at that side.
Yeah.
Trust Him.
Yeah.
Continue to declare. Continue to receive resurrection life. Declare resurrection life.
Yeah.
Whether it's for yourself or someone that you're praying for or situation.
Yeah.
So when we do this all together, oh hallelujah, you see God coming into that situation, into that problem, and then you are rejoicing because God has answered your prayer. Amen. Nothing is impossible for our God. Amen. Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah! Now, before I start, I bet you can fire it up already. Okay, so we're talking about mature sons of the house, alright? Being mature sons of the house, and I'll explain what that all means. And lately, what God has been speaking to me in terms of how is it that we operate in the house of God, by interacting with the children and all that, we learn so many things. I learned so many. I know Pastor Louis definitely learned so many, much more. But even ourselves, like, you know, the young leaders or the wiser ones, quote, the YLs, right? When we get dealings or when the children get dealings, I see it as well. And then suddenly, God just shows me, sometimes spiritually, we are acting like children.
Yes.
Yeah? So the title for today is Forsaking Foolish, Childish, and Evil Ways. Okay? But before I go into that, without looking at your newsletter, what is the theme for Evangel? Everyone shout it out. What is the theme for Evangel? Highway to Heaven. We still haven't got it. It's alright, we're going ahead. Technology is left behind. God's technology is way better. Okay?
Yeah.
So it's House of God, Gateway to Heaven.
Amen.
But also from heaven, right?
Yeah.
Okay? And if I ask you, what is the theme for 2018 for Evangel?
Strategic management.
Why the reason why I'm asking about themes and themes for this year and all that? Number one is, I don't want everyone to think, oh, today is Brother Dino's message, different flavor. Last week was Pastor Luke's message, different flavor. Sister Grace has different flavor. Then everyone starts getting favorites. I like this dish better than this dish. Right? What I want to try to say is that everything that we're speaking about, when we know what the theme is, everything is interrelated. What Pastor declares as well, from Sunday morning until Pastor Joseph declaring, they're all related to this building a house of God that will be the gateway to heaven, and if you click the next one, and from heaven. So I think we need to change our website a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
Because in the newsletter, it's from heaven as well. All right. And what's the purpose there? To build a house of God that, you know, like Pastor said, a place that God will be pleased to dwell.
Yeah.
Wants to spend time with us, right? A place for us not only to touch God, so it's like gateway to heaven, but also once we touch God, whatever God gives us from heaven, we can release it out into the world. Amen? Alright? Build a place for God, pleasing to God. And this one, I'm doing it for the children. Next one. Alright? When we talk about house of God, what does it mean? What does it mean, house of God? Because some of us have different ideas about the house of God. In the Old Testament, we know that wherever God appears to the children of Israel, He appears in a fire. Right? One of the ways that God appears fire, but there are other ways like lightning, thundering, and so on. Right? And we know that when God came to the tabernacle, it appeared as a fire. Right? And that is a symbol that God not only dwells in that tabernacle, that physical tabernacle, but God wants to dwell with His people. Right? And then we know, if we go next, the temple of Solomon was built, right? So, okay, that's where people go to meet God, alright? But now, we know in the New Testament, right, at the day of Pentecost, what happens? What happens on the day of Pentecost? When the Holy Spirit comes, there was tongues of fire upon each person.
Yeah.
Right? What does that symbolize? That fire again is that God is now dwelling in each and every one of us. Yeah? So when we see the last one, we see house of God, we can see in a variety of aspects. One is, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God now. God dwells in us. But also, corporately, as we all come together here, like what Pastor Minchin said this morning, the church, or let's say the house of God, is you and I together, gathering together, being charged with the word of God, and then we go out.
Yeah,
amen? Alright, so wherever we are coming together, that corporate worship, that corporate unity, what we call, can bring the presence of God down here. It's not about the building, it's about where we all gather together. Amen?
Amen.
Right? Okay, next one. Alright, so we... Alright, so I thought maybe you all forgot what the theme is, so I gave you a bit of... Oh, not yet. Alright, so the theme for 2018, if you remember, right? Okay? So to be the keyword is to be strategic. Alright? Okay, we won't read the rest first. Now, when I saw this picture, it's in your newsletter, right? The chess one. Mine's a bit different, but mine was a bit more... if you know how to play chess, right? If you know how to play chess, you know that each piece has a function.
Yep.
Alright, so God is just speaking that each of us has a function. Alright, you don't compare with each other. You don't, using the chess analogy, you don't go, why can't I be the castle that can move here and there? Why can't I be the horse that can move like that, right? You know? you don't compare yourself. Maybe this is what God is not just speaking to me, but to someone one of you. Okay? Number two, God doesn't look at size. It doesn't matter what piece it is.
Yeah.
Right? As you all know, the chess, anything can defeat the king.
Yes.
Including what? What's that piece there? It's a pawn. Pawn is the smallest thing in the chess piece, right? The most, what we call, unimportant thing. In fact, if you play chess, that's the one you sacrifice first. Right? But, no matter, even that sacrificial thing, it creates significant moves. If you all know about chess openings and things like that, these are chess language. That you are creating significant moves.
Yeah.
It may look unimportant. It may look like the pawn died in the first step, but it creates significant move.
Yeah.
Right. But the point is to be that strategic person that God chooses.
Yeah.
All right. And you have to be at the right position at the right time.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Have you played chess? You'll be suffering, frustrated. It's like suddenly, it was an opening there, and then but your piece is not there yet. Mm. And then when the next time you go there, it's already blocked. And then you're like, if only it was there, right, you missed the timing, okay? And then the last one is a small change can have a big effect, which is that point, defeating the king, right? Okay, so, Isaac, next one. So, we'll talk about the theme for 2018 is to be strategic. Everyone read together, strategic, and movement of stature, to be positioned in prophetic position, creating significant moves. Alright, and if you read your newsletter, there's a lot more on the side, right? And there's also a spelling mistake. If you all have read it, no one highlighted it or anything, so maybe it's time for us to read it. Because, you know, 2018 has gone quite fast.
Yeah.
Right? On actually, time is the same, but we feel fast, right? Because we're coming to the end. So, for myself, it's like, suddenly when I was preparing this, it's like evaluating. We know the theme when we start the year, excited. Wow, I want to be strategic manager. I want to be position. I want all this, right? But after the end, let's look at ourselves. How much have God dealt with us, or how much have we done to achieve that?
Amen.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And the next part, if you all read together, right? Everyone read together on the right side of the newsletter. Our God creates the heavens are open for spirit demonstration to do an incredible work. Right? So, you know, we declare. Empowering His people. Did I not read that? Sorry. Empowering His spirit. To do, so do is missing, an incredible work. Alright? So we also declare this over Byford today. Yeah?
Yeah.
God will demonstrate. The heavens are open over Byford. There will be spirit demonstration. There will be miracles.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. And there will be people healed and there will be people saved.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. Okay? Amen. Alright? Now I just want to recap again. Why I recap what's been taught the past few weeks is so that there's no I like this, I like that. Okay, it's all the same. Okay, it's flowing. We are building on each other. Right? Amen. And one of the things is that we like to think this. We like to think, wow, we're gonna create significant. Wow, God's kingdom will come and establish. Yes, all that will happen. Right? But before we can think about doing all the great things, let's look at our life, right? Because Pastor Week read from Isaiah 9 verse 7, where it says about the increase of his government and peace there is no end.
Yeah.
What I got from that when Pastor Louis shared about that government is number one is about order, then authority comes.
Yes.
Right? So if we don't have order in our life, we don't have order with each other here in the house of God, then how to bring that government of God? Right? Okay, so we have to set order in our lives and sort and set order in the house of God. And what we've done this year, right, when we respond to the prophetic word, let's all be like Daniel. The book is not Daniel Liu, not Daniel Ong, but Daniel in the book of the Bible. Right? Yes? And children, you all also learn about the book of Daniel. What happens? He knows that the 70 years is going to be up.
Yeah.
Right? The captivity is going to be up. But what does he do? He prayed and he seek God. He did something about the prophetic word. He's not just saying, oh, prophetic word, something's going to happen. Okay, I'll just sit down and wait for it to happen. There needs to be a response. There needs to be a response on each of one of us, right, to move. I have to pray, because pray, not just pray, but pray that we can be that part of that pieces that God will use to create that city we could move. Amen?
Yeah.
But before God can use, you have to be qualified. You have to be there is a process to go through, right? There are some things we need to work on, right? Personally, but also corporately. Amen?
Amen.
Alright, so the recap here. So I'm still recapping, still introduction. Alright? So Pastor Louis was talking about setting order in God's house. Number one is Jesus is building his church, right? And we all learn in life group about foundation.
Yeah.
That's another, if you want to say a key word for 2018, is building foundation. Why? Because when you want to build a house of God, you want to make sure you build it on the right foundation, which is Jesus. Okay, the rock. Okay? Alright? Grace likes to talk about process. Right? Because we have to be processed, go through changes. My wife Amy likes to talk about heart that pleases God. Because if your heart doesn't please God, then how are you going to build things that God likes, that He will want to come and dwell?
Yeah.
Right? And Pastor Louis likes to talk about order, power of one. You know, all these things. We're all going to work together to build this house of God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Alright? And last week, what we learned from the AGM, what Pastor Joseph released, I released it in the Sunday school. Right? I don't know if they remember. Maybe it's time to test them. Okay. Point number one. This is the summary of it. Right? When we are born again, number one, Sunday school children. Okay, Moses. Behind the divine. Okay, that's okay. So yeah, very good. Behind the divine family. Any other
children? No.
Okay, never mind. I'll give the points again. Basically, what I shared was like, oh, Matthias, yes.
I think I know like a question.
You know the question.
Die, where you
be? Okay, so the first one is that I asked them, when you die, where are you going to be? Okay,
yeah,
I started with that. Okay,
yeah.
Because when we are born again, when we truly believe who Jesus is, and we are born again, number one is our name is written in the book of
life.
Okay, so we know that. Okay, the assurance is in that. But number two, but we're still here. We're still here, right? And number two, when we are born again, we are added to the. Added to the Lord. We're added to the Lord. And what that means is that we're in the divine family of God. Right? We've got Heavenly Father. We can call on Him. Divine Father, a Heavenly Father who cares for us. Right? And who is all powerful, can heal us, can set us free. Amen?
Yeah.
Right? So that one. And then the third one is we are added to the
church.
Local church. Local house. Okay? Local house. Local church. Very good. Okay? When I got them to do this, right? Turn to your left, and if it's a brother or a sister, you say, you are my brother in Christ or sister in Christ. Then you turn to the other side, you say, you are my brother in Christ, sister in Christ. Okay? Okay, very good. Okay. Right? And when we talk naturally, when you say you are related, how are you related? It's by blood. But in spiritually, when you're in this house, we are related to each other by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. That makes us this family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right? This divine family here, a spiritual family here in this house with spiritual parents that will look after us, that have concerns for our soul, that only wants us to, that we grow spiritually. Amen.
Yeah.
Right? I'll talk about that a bit more coming later. Okay? So, children, y'all remember that? And next week. Okay? All right. Okay, so back to recapping, setting order in the house of God. So number one, we must know God, Jesus is building His church. Number two, Jesus is measuring His church. Right? I was listening to His message about, you know, when Jesus walked around the lampstand, trimming the different lampstands. It's as though, like when He felt it, when He was going around, looking at the trees and the sprinklers, fixing the sprinklers at each tree, right? You all remember that? Right? Yeah? But what does that... Don't just remember His story. Remember that God is measuring us, right? Everybody knows that. Not only He measures, but He will trim. He will do something that will to change us to be better. Amen? So that you can be a better light, because lampstand, right?
Yes.
Amen? And there is such thing as God's standard. We can't just say, I want to be better, but better to what standard? What is that measurement?
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Okay? And He touched a little bit about, in terms of worship, are we worshiping in spirit and in truth? Mm-hmm. What is our attitude when we come to worship God? Mm-hmm. Right? What is our attitude when we come to church?
Yeah.
Don't treat it lightly. You know, for jobs, or work, or study, wow. Scared, like, you know, for example, punctuality, just take that as our example.
Yeah.
Right? We take it so seriously by church, it's okay. Oh, the worship will still go on, it's okay. Like, right? We take it lightly. Let's be honest, I'm like that. I know I used to think like that. Amen? Right? But it's by God's standard. Amen? Alright, next one. Alright, and then with, in terms of setting order, there will be. Yeah, just click all of them. Like that. Right, just quickly, there will be that structure, right? The chain of authority where He shares about the five who's. Who is above all, which is God. Who is in us, which is God. Who is over us, which is our spiritual parents, the senior pastors in the church, right? And who is with us and who is for us. The one with us, like, you know, the crowd with Jesus, is different to those that when who remains. To receive the Holy Spirit, right? And who is for us, correct?
Yeah.
And then the next one, they talk about correction, because there will be discipline. If there's thing that's not right, there will be discipline. There needs to be what we hear and we change. All right. Remember, discipline is not judgment. Judgment is like that's the end, right? You're condemned basically. But discipline is telling you, hey, that's wrong. But now, like Pastor said, there is time to change and repent.
Yeah.
Amen. Right?
Yeah.
So this is the time to do that. And then the last one is there is shaking. There is something somehow is just stuck with us that God has to shake it so that all that is remains is what's of God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And He just put it very simply is religion, pride, and idolatry. These things has to be shaken. Right? Another thing is our God is a consuming fire. If you read Hebrews 12, that's how it ends, right? So that everything that is not of God will be burned away, and only what is of God remains. Okay? So that's the end of the recap or introduction. Okay? So we're not done yet. Alright? So we're halfway there. Okay? Are you all still with me?
Yeah.
Amen? Alright, so with this shaking and all that, you know, there are some things we like to hold on. There are certain ways in our lives we like to hold on. And remember, the title of the message is to be mature sons of the house. Maturity means there must be growth, right? There must be a change, not just every time the same problem, but there must be a maturity, right? Even the Bible says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. And like today, what I got from the morning sharing is that, you know, favor with men, it's not like we always think favor with men, wow, people just give us food, give us money or something. Oh, that's favor with men, but it's not. Favor with men is when we go out, we interact with men, they open up to receive us, not just to receive us, but to receive the word of God that we can give them. So maturity in this sense is not just favor with God, so that's that spiritual maturity that God is talking about, but also that interaction with men. There will be that spiritual maturity in that. Amen? Alright? So let's read the next one, okay? So here, Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 24 says here, everyone read together, "For my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are foolish children, and they have no understanding. And they are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." Okay? So here, from this passage alone, there are things that we, as the people of God, like to do. We have foolish ways that sometimes we still stick to. We have maybe childish way that we like to stick to, and sometimes we love the worldly way. Okay, so that's why the title of my message is Forsaking Foolish Ways, Childish Ways, and Worldly Ways. Okay, so here, foolish ways, just quickly, is that number one is those that does not know God. Right? We know that in Psalms, do I have it there? Oh, 14, I think. Psalms 14. Alright, it says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Alright? But we know that we learn that we all believe in Jesus, amen? Yes. That there is a God, amen? Yes. Right? So we know that this does not apply to us. Really. Think about it, really. Because sometimes maybe we act as though God doesn't see us.
Yeah.
We act as though God is not there in our situation. We act as though God is not powerful enough to change the situation or anything like that. Right? So it's like when I read this, suddenly when I was preparing this message, wow, it woke me up. Am I acting like that? Is this one of the foolish ways I have coming into, say, the end of 2018 or trying to ask God to change us? Is there something that we're holding on to? Because we know that the fear of the Lord, once we know God and we fear Him, is the beginning of knowledge, but fool despises wisdom and instruction, right? So maybe something to think about. And when we learn Daniel, we know that in Daniel chapter 12, it said, they that know their God shall do great exploits. Okay?
Yeah.
Alright, next one. Next one is, we know that fools, Jesus said, is everyone who does not do what he hears. Right? And we know that in Matthew 7:26, it's like, but everyone who hears this saying of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Alright, and just continue on, verse 27, right? Rain descended, floods came, and wind blew and beat on the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Right? Now, is there something that God has been speaking to us that either we're not heeding, we're not listening, or we're not receiving, or we're not obeying? Okay? Is there something, every Sunday, in and out, same thing, same thing. Is there something? It's a check for myself, right? And we like to tell this to children, and he'll tell you how many times you do the same, right? Sometimes maybe God is doing that to us.
Yeah.
Speak and speak, right? Either through pastors, through parents, right? Again, do the same mistake. Are you all,
yes.
It's a bit of a check today, right? Wow, suddenly start excited now. Okay. All right, next one. Foolish way is this. Even if the way leads to destruction, they will keep going. Right? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Where is the little boy heading? Or little cartoon? Not a good end. Right? Okay, and heeds counsel. So we must build our house properly. Okay, don't be a foolish person. And if we go next, alright, I'll do this little cartoon again for the children. Okay, number one is, when we build, let's build on the foundation or the rock, Jesus Christ. Okay, first, we must know God.
Yeah.
We must know who, we must truly, truly know who He is. Not just what we say, like, our own interpretation or our own definition of who God is, but truly who the God of the Bible is.
Yeah.
Right, when we learn the foundation, Kevin Connor, he says, what does God mean to you? What does God mean to you? Right? Is it the God of the Bible? Or is it just something that you have your own imagination? Alright? The next one is, as we hear and do, we are like building the walls. Okay? Because we are building on the rock. Okay? This is talking about building our life and also house of God here. Okay?
Yeah.
Alright? So first, we know God. Second, when we hear and we do, it's like building on that. Okay? Right? And the last one, remember he said what? Heeds counsel. Now, not just any counsel, okay? Don't be foolish to think that every counsel we hear, right? Which kind of counsel, or where would the counsel come from, is next, is our spiritual authority. Right? Yeah, that's like the roof.
Yeah.
Okay? Alright? So God has appointed authority or spiritual authority over our lives. And Pastor Louis touched on this a bit on last week, right? And if you go next, the scripture there about who our appointed authority or appointed spiritual authority. Maybe read it since it's up there. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, 1 to 3. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable for you. So here, those that are above you are those that will watch your souls. Right? It's not like Pastor Joseph was saying, it's not easy job. Nobody wants to do this. But because they've got the call of God, and then they see us as someone that's been added to the local house, and it is like here, it says they must give an account, which means they will all their best will want to see us grow spiritually. Amen? And sometimes it's easy for them, for us to say, they're not expert in my, like, for example, I'm in the field of science. Pastor don't know, the science don't do like this, right? I'll give you my testimony is that, remember that when I graduated, there was a possibility that I may have to find a job in the US. And the first thing Pastor said was, don't. Okay? Because it is dangerous that spiritually, right, you're going to just be astray and all this. Right? And I said, okay, let's obey that. Right? And what happens is I got favor and I got a job, offer from another lab. Here in Perth, in the same lab, and I didn't even have to move. Right?
Yes,
but doing different things, upgraded.
Yeah.
But still staying at the same place. But here's the thing. I can say very easily, Pastor doesn't know how science works. Normally, we as scientists must go out to US because they know they have all the technologies, or go to Europe, right? And then come back with the skill. But what I may not know is that if I go there, then I may be led astray and all this, and what's going to happen? No man, but you know that scripture where it says I can gain the whole skill, the whole science knowledge, but if I lose my soul, what's the point?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Let's read 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you people submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Again, here, I must humble myself to go. I know what pastors detecting in the spirit. I know what they're trying to say. Sometimes we may not understand their heart or what they see, and then we start to judge. It's like, pastor is just men, but in the end, right? Or they're not perfect and all this. But the Bible tells us, as long as these are your appointed authorities, right? Are we humble enough to submit to that? Right? And I know, like, the next word is that, you know, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Yeah? So, don't see our spiritual parents, our pastors, like, you know, some people like to go and ask advice from a few things, and then they go, okay, then I choose which advice. Right? The advice is like optional. Right? In school, you have counselors, you have career, whatever. What should I do when I graduate? Then they give you these ideas. But in the end, they say, the choice is yours. The choice is yours, right? But same, they will also say all these things as our choice, whether to follow the voice of God that is spoken through them. Amen? Right? So something to think about again. Okay, next one. Okay, now we... Alright, you all see the house, okay? Now, as you all may or may not know, this is something I'm going to look forward to. Alright, some people are still, huh? I'll let you give your revelation. Okay. Alright. And the funny thing is, when you announce this to people, right, the first thing they'll do is they tell you everything, especially the one that's married, and they want you to say, you know, babies, they're a selfish thing. Really, this is the common thing. They will cry whenever they want.
Yes.
You know, they don't care whether you're sick, you're not available. There's no such thing. It's 24 hours. Alright? And it's like, and one thing is, like, then suddenly as I was preparing this message, I was trying to think, what are childish ways? And in summary, this is one word I have: selfishness. Basically, because The baby doesn't know what's happening around. I mean, obviously, right? Okay. But then, and all they do is, I want, I want, I want. Right? When they're baby, they can't say, I want, what they do? They cry. When they're hungry, they cry. They need change, cry. Okay? But when they're big, you hear this very common, right? I want, I want. Or, what about me? Why I don't have? Okay. The ones who laugh will go. Before, right? They don't get what they want. Can you see that inward looking?
Okay? Yeah, that's right.
And when we look at each other here as we are all together, do we have that? Sometimes, like, again, Pastor, like, somehow, like, maybe he already, she knows. I haven't shown my message to Pastor, but somehow, whatever she shared this morning, just like, oh, right now, right now. Because when she prayed this, Lord, when we are as a child, spiritual child, we only ask for blessings. Right, but let us be mature. We want to be mature so that we start thinking about your mandates. Can you see now it's changed what God wants us to do? And then we start to see others, what others need, that what God wants to touch them, how God wants to change them. We begin to see outward, right? Okay, and also with children, they don't go, please, mom, I want milk. There's no such thing. They just go, milk. Oh, and then drink already, finish. That's it. No gratefulness, no thank you. But this is what we teach children. Right? This is what we teach. Why? And one thing, this was for me a few years ago, if the children remember, I shared this in Kepong. Even the teaching the word please, there is a spiritual lesson. Please meaning, you humble enough to say, I don't have that. I need your help to give me. Right? That's why you say please. Yeah. All right. And thank you is, I didn't have this before, and now I have it through you. You say thank you, and that develops the spirit of gratefulness. So it's not just the words. You say, hey, say please, hey, say please, hey, say thank you. What's the magic word? Right? This is mine when I was growing up. What's the magic word? Please. Right. Thank you. Thank you. Who? Oh, thank you. Without realizing all this thing has spiritual implication. We also maybe sometimes we just praise God, but sometimes you're not even looking up, you're looking praise the Lord, hallelujah. But your focus is not there, right? When we say thank you to who is, you focus on who you're actually talking to.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just thank you and you walk off. Right? Oh, God is good. And then you didn't even what is in your mind is not God. You just something like it's just what we call religious words, right? Even I think in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, you know, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I think like a child, I understood as a child. Maybe that's for another time. I didn't have it here, right?
Yeah.
And all these things, it's like sometimes maybe we just say things out of, you know, without thinking, right? And all selfish thoughts, all selfish words, all right? And then we always like to say, kids like that one, kids will always, or the Western way is that kids will always be kids. But we cannot do that, right? For ourselves, we can also, if you turn that, if we have childish ways, that interpretation becomes, I'm like that one now. You understand? Can you see yourself? When you tell a kid and say, oh, kids will always be like that. Kids will always be kids. Then, when you have, or when I, let's say I, when I have childish ways that I don't want to change, then what I will say is, I am like that. I will always be like this. Can you see the right, the spiritual implication? So when we watch children how they act, sometimes look ourselves like, do we act like this with God? Do we act like this in the house of God? Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Okay. And sometimes adults, maybe even though adults, I think Pastor Luke once heard Joel use his example, baby Joel, but he's still a baby. But sometimes look at ourselves, maybe we are still babies as well, okay?
Yeah.
And the other thing about being babies, okay, now is the second point, right, is carnal minded. Here, 1 Corinthians 3, let's read together. 1, 2, 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. Where there is envy, strife, and division, divisions among you. You are not carnal and behaving like mere men. For one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Now here, before I go, the next point is about carnal-minded. Again, that's beside interrelated. But you can see all these 3 points, foolish ways, childish ways, and worldly ways, they're all very interrelated.
Yeah.
Right? Worldly ways with the childish ways means I love the world and then I don't want to change. I don't want to change. I just want what I want. Right? Can you see this interrelated? Even though I break it up like this, but they're all interrelated. Now in this scripture, the outward manifestation of having childish mind or spiritual child mind is this: I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. What is that thing there? I'm better than you. I'm from the school of Paul. I'm better than you. I'm from the school of Apollos. Right? And then the kids, no lah, I do more work than him. Right? You like to compare.
Yeah.
Right? As children. But in when we know that when we're mature, you no more think about yourself. Your interest is in others.
Yeah.
Right? How do you lift them up? Amen? Alright? But okay, then we go to the next one. Okay, when we talk about carnal mind or carnal, these are one of the spiritual childish mind, right? It's when we have this 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father but of the world. So here, this is the summary of what it is that we want worldly things. When we set our mind on thinking of the ways, is this. And you see that the lust of the flesh basically says, I desire to do what the world does. Okay? That's lust of the flesh. I want to do what the world does. Lust of the eyes is, I desire to have what all the world offers. Right? Cars, money, big building, all this thing, right? Or big house, right? These are lust of the eyes. And then the last one, the pride of life, you are desiring the world's approval rather than God's approval. Okay, so do we have this in us? Again, today is like a check for all of us, okay? And the last one here, and I'll end with this, alright? To forsake evil things. Maybe now you can turn your Bibles to Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. Okay, and we'll end with this. So because it's quite a long passage, the scripture speaks for itself. What is it, these worldly things that we may have to change? Okay? I pick up one, like for example, covetousness is one thing, worldly things. Right? Unforgiveness. That's like being a child, right? Not forgiving someone. Okay? If we go, alright, we are ready? Chapter 3, verse 1. Maybe we read responsibly. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, then I'll read verse 3, and so on. Okay? 1, 2, 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the hand of God.
Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth.
For you die, and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
With Christ who is our life, with you also will appear with him in glory.
Okay, so here, now verse 5 onwards, this is the things to be put death to, right? To forsake, right? Therefore, to put death to your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience.
In which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. Alright, so can you see all this negative that we have to put off? Okay? Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds.
And put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him.
Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So now we're going into the positive. Okay, we are all new men, we are all new men in Christ. Alright, so now verse 12 onwards is the positive. This is what we want. And maybe what we can do, we all can stand and we'll personalize this as we declare, and this is how we conclude today. Alright? Okay, maybe I'll read and then you repeat what I say, because I will personalize this, right? Okay? So you say, therefore I, your name. Okay, as the elect of God.
As the elect of God.
Holy and beloved.
Holy and beloved.
I will put on.
I will put on.
Tender mercies.
Tender mercies.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Humility.
Humility.
Meekness.
Meekness.
Long suffering.
Long suffering.
Bearing with one another.
Bearing one another.
Forgiving one another.
Forgiving one another.
And if anyone has a complaint against me.
If anyone has a complaint against me.
Even as Christ forgave me.
Even as Christ forgave me.
So I will also do.
So I will also do.
But above all these things,
above all these things,
I will put on.
I will put on
love,
love,
which is the bond of perfection.
Which is the bond of perfection.
And I will let.
And I will let
the peace of God.
Peace of God
rule in my heart.
Rule in my heart.
To which also.
To which also.
I was called.
I was called
in one body.
In one body.
And be thankful.
And be thankful.
And I will let.
I will let.
The word of Christ,
dwell
in me richly,
in
all wisdom,
teaching,
and admonishing
one another
in psalms
and
hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace
in
my heart to the Lord. Last one. And whatever I do, in word or deed,
I do all
in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Giving
thanks to God.
Giving thanks to God.
The Father through Him.
The Father through Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is speaking to us.
Amen.
Can you sing one song? From glory to glory, to change me. Allow the Holy Spirit to change us.